This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Scott Roeder of Evidence Room joining us and the podcast Crime Scene Time Machine. Scott, I want to talk about Lori Daybell. And from your perspective as someone who works with forensic evidence on a regular as your job, what has been standing out to you as we've been learning more and more about some of the evidence in this case and as things have begun to come out in trial over the last 2 weeks?
Well, I think that the prosecution put together a nice job of detailing the financial enrichment that this mom was using the son's name or the daughter's name in leasing a car, using their Venmo accounts, which was funded through some other source of paying for hotels and trips to Hawaii. She even went so far as putting an email to a owner of a home in Hawaii saying, we would like to rent your property and we have no pets and we have no children. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this really demonstrates the calculated nature of what she was doing. And you have to try to justify that to her. You know, I still have yet to hear what her end of the world philosophy was, but apparently it was living in Hawaii, a much more comfortable and convenient life of luxury without her children to take care of.
And it is interesting because the email came to that home or that rental property before they had found the bodies. The kids were still just missing. So if they were missing and you're hoping your children are going to come back at some point, you may assume that you have children that are going to live with you, but they clearly had already moved on from that idea and were operating in this world of, we don't have kids and we're not even going to aid in the investigation of finding them.
Yeah. And she had her surviving son mm-hmm. on the stand, an adult from a previous marriage, Colby,
yep.
I think.
Yep.
Who gave some very, you know, chilling testimony, you know, particularly the jailhouse phone calls that they recorded between him and his mother, where he confronts her about, you know, how does a God-fearing woman kill her two children? Mm-hmm. And her responses, according to that jail phone tape that they played in court, was, you don't understand what they've been through and you don't understand what I've been through, and kind of snickered. So
yeah, there
this was what she said to her own son.
There was a evil cackle, I believe, at one of those points that was very chilling on that phone call. I think that the more I look at this, the more I'm trying to understand it, the prism of looking at it through Lori Vallow's eyes. It has to be this almost. She believed that the laws that she were what was to be abiding by, the rules of life, if you will, to abide by, were not that of the earth, were not that of the local authorities or the government or anything like that. It was of God or her version of it, and what she believed she was being told to do and must do. And if one of those things was to kill the children because God or something told her that they were demons and they were no longer people, she believed it wholeheartedly. And I'm honestly starting to believe that she killed these children or had a hand in it in some way, shape, or form. And knowing full well that she was killing children, but believed that they were not her kids anymore. She believed she was doing God's work or doing the right thing because she had already deemed them to be demons and they'd all be reconnected in this new land of Rexburg when the second coming happened. If you look at everything through that lens, it's easier to see and understand how she could be like, oh yeah, we're going to go to Hawaii. Well, because her kids are already gone, but they're going to come back in a different way, shape, or form, and it'll be all fine. It'll all work out at the end, and really not ever registering that she actually killed human beings, her children, or all the other people surrounding her in her life. I don't know how much she actually understood that those murders were actual murders. And that's a really weird thing to say, because she seems to have her wits about her in many other ways of life. But when it comes to that religion, it very much seemed that the only thing she cared about pleasing was, quote unquote, God.
I mean, that shakes me because, you know, I think that, you know, religion has a place in people's lives. And, you know, I think it's when the people become extreme.
Yeah.
This sounds like an extreme ideology. I just can't even put my head around, you know, thinking somebody is a demon, especially your own child. I think possibly if that's the case, maybe you're the demon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they say, it bounces off of me, you know, sticks to you, rubber and glue. So maybe what the veil needs to be pierced for Lori throughout the course of this trial to realize that she was the demon, not the kids.
And I don't know that that will ever happen. I mean, it's been interesting. We've already seen a crack in her the other week where she didn't want to come back in with dramatic testimony about the remains of her children being hard to watch. But I don't know that she wanted to leave because it was her children that they were showing that were dead, or that it was such opposing information to her way of thinking and what she's told herself and literally believes. She was told the opposite and presented with opposite evidence. And I don't know that she was able to grasp that or participate in that mentally, other than just being completely adverse to it. You know, it's like throwing, I've said this before, it's like throwing water on the Wicked Witch. And it's just, I'm melting. I can't control any of this.
Yeah. Well, this trial is going to be her Clockwork Orange. Okay. Remember that Stanley Kubrick movie back from in the 70s? It's when you realize the horror that you've become. That's her punishment. Her trial is her punishment. Yeah. She'll never see freedom again. But guess what? When she's in jail, she'll have nothing but herself to listen to, and then she can be in as deep belief as she wants. But for the course of this trial, this is going to be trying to shake her back into reality to see what her actual deeds have done. And I think the judge should, in retrospect, maybe that is the best thing, have her tied to that chair and gagged and force her with her mechanical eyelid openers on her eyes so that she can't shut her eyes into the horror of what she did to her family. So I think this trial is her punishment.
Yeah.
And that's why it's relevant, I think, at this time.
Everyone, I think, is so desperately wanting her to suffer and see the reality of what she did. However, I don't know that she's ever going to, quite honestly. I think she'll end up being sentenced, and she's going to walk out of there at some point, going to jail, and thinking, well, they can do whatever they want to me. This is just the earth. This doesn't matter anymore because she is so invested in her next life that she could care less what happens here because the belief system tells her that. And I think that's how she's going to die someday. She's going to go to her grave so deep into this because she is so deep and coming out of it is so painful. You would much rather stay in the delusional land in terms of trying to survive mentally than coming out and facing the reality of who she actually is. I don't think she'll ever know it anymore. That's just my opinion, but I think some people get so far deep into this that they're not coming out.
Yeah, well, you know, they say down the rabbit hole, it's a one-way ticket, you know? And, you know, she may not have time left for this planet, Tony, but I love this planet and I love the people on it. And it's our job to try to give people a little hope. And guess what? Your day is being a lot better than Lori Vallow and her family right now. And we should all rejoice in that. And, you know, try to make sure we can give ourselves and our family a better day today.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Scott Roeder of Evidence Room and the podcast Crime Scene Time Machine. Sure to check that out. Hey, if you like this podcast, press subscribe wherever you are downloading it and enjoy all the episodes delivered directly to you 24/7. If you like a commercial-free version, you can get that through Apple Podcasts right now when you sign up to be a premium subscriber. Take advantage of that. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.